Good morning. Welcome to the MT for Christ 247 podcast. I'm MT Clark, and this little Zoom meeting is more than a Zoom meeting. It's a Bible study, and it's a little program that we produce that's called Bible Study with the Sincottis, as we're joined today by Arthur and Susanna Sincotti and my lovely Tammy Lynn Clark, as we jump into the Bible study that Arthur wrote up. He submitted the study this morning, and the title is Celebrate. And so we will be celebrating another day going through God's word. But before that, we'll say good morning and ask Arthur to say good morning too.
Yes. Good morning, everyone. It's a joy to be here. And just like to open by engaging with God in prayer. Lord, we thank you for this beautiful morning. We're grateful to be awakened once again to a new day that you created in eternity past, and to step out into it. It's a joy to engage with your word first thing in the morning, and to see you in the midst of it all, experience you, Lord. I pray that you would open the eyes of our hearts now to give us a deeper, richer, fuller understanding of what you would say and convey to us for our nourishment, for our spiritual food and drink. And Lord, we praise you and thank you for your design and your creation. The manner in which you do these things is just so glorious. And I ask now, by the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord God, that you would have your liberty here today to conduct this Bible study, because we're studying about you, Lord, and we want to know you more intimately, more perfectly, more completely. We thank you that this is the desire of your heart to reveal yourself to us. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. So today's study is on the subject of celebration. And our opening verse is from Psalm 135, verse 3, which says, praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Celebrate his lovely name with music. I had to run to the NLT for that, because the word celebrate is a crazy word out there. It's translated so many ways and in so many manners that to engage it, I had to do some back handsprings. sometimes it's translated observe, for instance. But I really wanted to pull out the essence of celebrate, because I feel that celebration is something that has been lost in our culture. The real art and essence of celebration is something that's been lost in our culture. I wrote as just a brief little prolegomena here to say, remember that word? That was a Pastor Chris word, prolegomena, right? There are two manners made available to us by God, by which we may temporarily repeal the effects of the curse. One is rest, and the other one is celebration. In our culture today, rest has almost been vilified, and celebration has been badly destroyed.
I just want to camp on that one sentence, brother. I mean, that's...
I knew I was going to get you.
I'm like, whoa. I mean, that's sort of, prescriptive, if you will. I mean, wow. Just in case anyone didn't hear it, there are two manners made available to us by God, which we may temporarily repeal the effects of the curse. One is rest, and the other is celebration. So, yeah. Good.
Yeah.
I like it. I would say very quotable.
We're off to a good start, right?
That's it.
And, you just engage with anybody nowadays, and the first question out of their mouth is, are you busy? Right. And I don't know where that became a virtue. We live, of course, in America, and And much of this is based on the Protestant work ethic, that it's noble and good to be engaged. It's noble and good to be working and doing and building and running and going. It comes down to it. We've heard the expression that an
idle hands are the devil's workshop.
Idle hands are the devil's workshop. Exactly. But
I love that, because the effects of the curse, you would think of, you know, it's very poetic the way you put it, and people might go right over people's heads there, but it's like, you know, the struggle of your life, you know, that's the effects of the curse, performance-based mentality. And so you're offering up in that one sentence, you're offering up, you know, basically the solution to the problem. Obviously it's all in the context of being in Christ, but we need to rest, and we need to celebrate or praise or live in joy. And, it's all in there. but and so that's why it jumped out at me. I'm like, hey, that's good stuff.
Indeed. Yeah. To celebrate has been redefined as to party, right?
Yeah.
So that's the new definition there. Party, get drunk.
It gets corrupted. Yeah, I could have a celebration. They're like, oh boy.
Right. It's taken on the complexion of just an opportunity to gratify the flesh in whatever way, shape, or form we can think of. And we keep up coming up with new ways, but they all kind of fold back on the same old ones, right? I fear that we've, as a culture, hopefully not as a Christian culture, but as a the world culture, we've lost the art, the beautiful art of celebration.
Yeah.
And so that's one of the things we want to unpack and look at and talk about today. And a couple of things to say, personal notes is to say in advance, is that I'm grateful to Susanna and our family for celebration. If it were up to me, I would defect to that, just plow through, today's Christmas, oh that's great, I'll just work half a day today or something crazy like that.
It's true.
And Susanna always made our celebrations rich, whether they were birthdays or holidays, that she would introduce some of the elements that we're going to talk about and make them beautiful and memorable and wonderful. And so life is intended to be celebrated. It's a good thing. Mm-hmm. And Pastor Finn used to say, there's a powerful dynamic to celebration. And Pastor Finn used to say that what you fail to celebrate will move away from you.
Yeah.
And that can apply to people and relationships. It can apply to many different aspects of life. So I got engaged with celebration in my heart and my mind's eye in two unusual places. First of all, as a kid going to Catholic Church, right? Of course, nobody brought a Bible to Catholic Church, because that was a total waste of time. What would you want to do something crazy like that for, right? But the church provides what is called a missal, which I have to do a word study on that someday, why they call it a missal, or a missalette, where the readings and all the engagements are right. It's in the pew right there, and you open it up to the particular Sunday. Yeah, it's kind of
the liturgy. Yeah.
Liturgy. You open it up to that particular study, and it tells the responsorial sounds, when the congregation is supposed to speak, and when the priest speaks, and when you sit, and when you stand, and when you kneel, and all that, and the prayers. And the thing that struck me is very, very, very interesting. And I'm telling you, I'm a kid, and this is dawning on me. It says, wherever, you know, the congregation speaks, it just says the people or something of that nature. But when the priest speaks, it says celebrant. Mm. It says celebrant. And I'm reading that, and I'm saying to myself, I'm saying, oh, this is a celebration. And of course, I thought kind of sarcastically,
They don't
again,
seem to be
even as a
very
kid,
happy.
nobody seems very happy, and it doesn't really seem like a celebration. It doesn't seem like much of a celebration. But it dawned on me that our gathering together, this was supposed to be a celebration. And so a little bit of that, much of that really depends on your own attitude and how you approach it. But it was my first realization that this is God's design, that we come together and celebrate his goodness and his majesty. And the other place where I kind of engaged it was years ago, we used to go out to a group to hang out with a group, kind of a cultish group. Some of the theology.
Hey,
We
we've
had
been, I, you
some
know, you
moments
might have
back
been,
then.
you might have been, you might have walked through stuff like that, you know?
Well, they were very inviting, and we didn't buy all their theology and stuff like that, but they were a Christian community called the 12 Tribes, and they were into going back to the Jewish traditions. Everybody took a Hebrew name, and they celebrated on the Shabbat,
Friday night before.
and the Friday night before was a time of coming together that they called celebration. And we were always invited to that. And we'd go maybe once or twice a month periodically because we had some friends that were part of this community, or we developed some friends that were part of this community. And this celebration was actually a celebration. It was beautiful. We'd share a meal together as a whole community and then make our way up to an upper room. And genuinely enjoy one another's company. There was music, there was dancing, there was all the elements of celebration, and they called it celebration. And so once again, to me, the understanding became more manifest and deeper and richer that this is what God intends for us, to celebrate his goodness and to the first confession in the Westminster Confession is, what is the purpose of life? To glorify God and to enjoy him forever. I think you could,
To
you could
celebrate
insert the
him.
word celebrate in there instead of just enjoy.
And I think the other piece to it was that I always thought was very wonderful was that Friday night was their celebration and they had all the goings on, but Saturday, which was their Sabbath, that was it. There was no work, there was no cooking, it's kind of like the Passover, how many of the Jewish folk prepare the day before, because you don't cook on your Sabbath. You don't do any of those
That
kind of
would be
things.
work.
And we've been, kind of looking at this issue of rest with the Greater Foundations program that we're working with. And that's a hard thing. Even we were asked, what do you do for rest? And I was like, I usually don't. I mean, if I'm sitting down for too long, I just feel awful. I feel like I should be up doing something. I need to go clean something. I need to go, move something. I need to go do something. Just sitting around is very debilitating for me because the concept of rest is just foreign to the American pop, the American population. It's just not, like you said, that work ethic issue.
And so part of this was instigated by a session that we had with our coach, Tom Griffith, and anybody can engage with Tom through greaterformations.com. Highly recommended. He's a terrific guy, and he's available as a Christian coach. And we have a Zoom meeting every Thursday night with a group. And his study this last Thursday night was on rest and having a Sabbath rest. So that's the other pole, but I'm not going to steal Tom's thunder, and I'm going to defect to this notion of celebration. But I think celebration and rest, that's true. I actually forgot about that, how the 12 tribes, that
They shut down. They know.
Saturday was a day of rest. It was a genuine, actual day of rest. And sometimes in the church, and we were discussing this, sometimes in the church, Sunday is exhausting. I remember back,
Especially for
when
the
Rock Solid Church was running two services, and the leadership was typically expected to be at both services, and you would be maybe teaching Sunday school at one, and then helping a cafe and
And
just a
service
myriad of
folks.
jobs and things. And then there were home groups on Sundays. So Sunday could be exhausting. You needed a rest from your rest,
Yeah.
or a vacation from your vacation.
Our church has three services, and they have
Yeah.
teams for prayer ministry, parking
Right.
ministry. It's a
Right.
whole thing,
Yeah.
basically, where it's really a machine. It's
Right.
insane. And I've heard volunteers in the various groups who
Yeah.
serve one, two, three services. Admit to, it's sort of insane. In terms of, the day they come to, really, Sunday is our Sabbath rest as Christians, as Christ was raised on the first day, and
Yes.
that's how we, change the script on that as Christians. But it's awesome to serve in the house of the Lord, but probably those people get the rest,
Not inappropriate to do that because Paul tells us that one honors the day, another person unto the
And
Lord,
that's
yet another
just
person
it
doesn't
too.
honor the day
That's
as unto the Lord. And so we
and
have
that's what
freedom
we
in that regard.
point to, because they're your traditions, your churches, your whatever, your groups of people, do whatever. But Paul puts it straight in
Very
terms
clear.
of, basically one day is as good as another, and it's a matter of how you relate to the Lord. So.
Yes, but the Lord requires us to both celebrate Him and to have that Sabbath rest. I mean, even if you, I don't know if Martha's going to pick this up, but
It
you know, in
might
the
not be
Old Testament,
a Sunday. It might not be a Saturday,
right?
So really,
Have to, but you're
we have the
required to
liberty to
rest.
not even be, locked down to a Sunday, so.
Right. The truth is that so we do have freedom.
Yeah.
Our rest is in Christ, and we celebrate Him. It is an issue of attitude, and we should be celebrating Him 24/7, as we're going to see. But the truth of the matter is, if we don't cordon off, because God, knowing our characteristic and our frame, because He continued He created us, if we didn't cordon off and designate a specific time to do that, we wouldn't do it. You
Right.
know, that's just the truth. I think in it is a verse. I didn't get a chance to look it up, but there's a verse in Amos that says, "You can't." God is actually indicting the children of Israel, where He says, "You can't wait for the Sabbath to be over so that you
Right.
can you buy and sell again."
And
You
so, I
know,
mean, it's really a spiritual and mental health issue that the Lord
it
puts
is.
on us, because if we were to do 7 days at a time, we would wear down physically, mentally, and or
Right. Absolutely.
relationally. We'd be on each other's backs, and so he wants us to know peace by
Yeah.
commanding us to rest, and
Yes, I agree. I agree.
and
And to celebrate.
of course, doing this, I couldn't help but think that and recall how Mark ministry that you're involved in with Celebrate Freedom
Yep.
is, that's a reason to celebrate.
That's it. And we're not resting on at Celebrate Freedom. We're just celebrating the victory that we have. And I instruct people to, because as we go along, week to week, whatever, you might, sort of get tired of your freedom, or just sort of got used to your victory or whatever. And I said, like, no, this is very significant. You need to remind yourself what the Lord has done in your life on a daily basis, because you'll always have something to be grateful for, and to realize that God has worked in your life, and He's continuing to work in your life every day. Every 24-hour period, you get to count as another day of victory, and that's something to celebrate. And so, when I have people check in, I have them check in because I want to know how each person is personally doing. And sometimes, these check-ins can take a while, but give them the time to speak, to be heard, to validate what's going on in their lives,
And that's important.
and to keep it as real as they want. But I say, because I know what chaos we can have in our lives, I point to the fact that I want you to say, you tell me something good, something you're thankful for, after you report how you've been. That way it sort of tethers it back to the positive and joyful aspects of our lives, which are there at all times. It's just we take for granted and like we forget about. And when we're not focusing on what we could be celebrating, we're looking at all the problems and everything that
Right.
isn't
Exactly.
right or
Yeah.
perfect. And it can be a problem. And as you said earlier, the things we don't celebrate, they move away from us. And
Yeah.
how much is that true in human relationships? As you fail to take you take someone for granted and fail to appreciate them, they look elsewhere to someone else to fill that role, and it causes division and strife and
Absolutely.
defense,
Right. Absolutely.
So we have to appreciate one another. I appreciate you, Tammy. I
You
love
better.
you.
That's has the best smile.
And that's something, we should every day, basically celebrating one another in our lives,
Yes.
And I think that that's important also in our prayer life. I don't know if ours is going to get involved in that part, but how many times does it say in the Bible to come to the Lord with praise and worship and thanksgiving? Enter the courts with praise and worship and thanksgiving. And how many times do we come to prayer and just, oh Lord, this is bad and that is bad and fix this and fix that,
Sure.
rather than coming and saying, thank you, Lord, I'm alive. Thank you, Lord. Today was great. Thank you, Lord. I accomplished things. Thank you, Lord. You helped me. Thank you. And celebrate Him even in our
Sure.
prayer life.
Sure. When we come into the tabernacle, we come through the gates of praise
Right.
first into the court of thanksgiving. And so that should be a model of prayer.
Celebration.
Instead of just bringing our laundry list of complaints and why life is so miserable, and I need healing for this, and I need deliverance from that, and and he has, provided everything that pertains to life and godliness for us. So oftentimes it's a matter of us just engaging with it and celebrating, what is the good stuff that is going on. So if we said that I think we all agreed that if we didn't designate the times and places, we probably just wouldn't do it. And
That's true.
God, knowing this, cordoned off seven feasts in Leviticus 23
Right.
that he gave to the children of Israel through Moses for them to celebrate as a nation. The list that the Lord commanded the children of Israel to observe or celebrate, and they were the Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits, Pentecost, trumpets, Day of Atonement, and the Feast of Tabernacles. And the feasts can be divided into two categories: the spring feasts and the autumn feasts, and further have great messianic significance. The first four feasts, the spring feasts, are fulfilled in Christ's first coming, and the three autumn feasts will be fulfilled in his second coming.
That's cool that you found that information, because that
Yeah.
you never think about those kinds of things.
I found a great article on the internet last night as I was studying this from what is the URL was JesusPlusNothing.com. Great study on the seven feasts and how each of those points to Christ and the categories that I just described. Of his first coming and his second coming, and how each feast, really colors that in and does it points to Christ. Imagine that, because the whole New Old Testament points to Christ, and the feasts particularly, and how much more, having been being on one side of it, should we celebrate the Lord's coming? And we do. We're going to talk about that.
In the spring feast, just to give it, from what I can recall from my Feast of Israel's Bible college education, basically the Passover and the unleavened bread, point to Christ, death and resurrection. First fruits is resurrection. Pentecost is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit's, and as you say, trumpets, I believe, is associated with the rapture,
The rapture. That's right. You're doing
basically,
good. You're doing good. The other element is.
and basically Day of Atonement, obviously, is Christ suffering and dying for our sins.
Well,
He's
that's the
the
second coming. That's judgment.
That Day of Atonement is going to be the Great White Throne.
Oh, Great Great Throne Judgment. All right, future. And Tabernacles is when we go into his Millennial Kingdom, or
living with God forever in His kingdom.
Yeah, becoming the kingdom.
There you go.
Kingdom.
Yeah. So.
So. Yeah. God's not happenstance about the way He does things. This is very carefully designed and beautifully designed, and we have opportunity to walk in it. There are what I drew just in my own thinking, three essential elements that are typical aspects related to feasting or celebration, and they are community, break from routine, and rejoicing. Yeah. So those are three of the things that we're going to focus on today. Yeah.
As much as Billy Idol liked to dance by himself, you really should have a community when you celebrate.
Yeah, you know, so. The only party that nobody shows up for is the pity party, right?
Oh, it's well, Pat, I got it. You said it. It's like you hit this phrase. I got it. It's about you just unlocked a Pastor Bob Costello story. Like he said, the only people that come to the pity party is you and Satan.
Yeah,
and that's the only people at a pity party until you call Jesus in there and he flips over the table and tells them to get out of there.
Yeah.
So
that's
a pity party. You and Satan until Jesus churns the tables literally over.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
I like that.
Thank you, Pastor Bob.
Pastor Bob stories.
Indeed. Mm-hmm. Celebration is always enriched by community. Nobody wants to throw a party and nobody show up.
Oh, boy.
I can't help but think, echoing of the old Beatles song, you know, Father McKenzie writing words of a sermon that no one will hear. What a tragedy that is. That's so pathetic. And to prepare, Jesus said, you know, in the parable of the wedding feast, you know, he says, I've prepared my feast, and those who were invited didn't want to come. Imagine that. This is crazy talk, right? But those who were invited to the celebration didn't want to come. So he sent his stewards and his servants out into the highways and byways and compelled people to come because there was room there's still room, everybody. There's room in his banquet hall. Yeah. So before the door closes, you know, the invitation is out there. So Leviticus 23 calls this a holy convocation. Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, the feast of the feasts of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations. Convocations can also be translated assembly. I couldn't help but thinking, though it's a different word, but I think the essence is the same. In Psalm 133, behold how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity.
Amen.
So this is a good thing. This is fun. This is joy. This is celebration. Mm-hmm. Unity in this case that we've come together to celebrate. We came together with one purpose, a united purpose. To celebrate. Mm-hmm. We're going to celebrate. And so the more the merrier, the more people that show up, it is just an effervescence. There's a power, an electricity kind of happening when people show up and the celebration gets going.
Yeah. Put your hands up, brother.
Hands up. There's always one guy who's the life of the party, you know, and you've seen probably in movies and stuff, like the party is a real downer until so-and-so shows up and then he gets things going. Right.
At my new church is big and there's a lot of people there.
Sure.
So when I worship the Lord in song and praise, I have a tendency to raise my hands, But I've taken on, basically I've gotten in the habit of closing my eyes when I do so. So I don't look around to see all the people who are not raising their hands.
I know.
Because I am in full celebration mode and I'm not going to
Yeah.
let anyone discourage that. And, because it's basically, although we're there corporately, the aspect of celebration really is individual. Basically as the Lord is working through the worship team, through the assembly of everyone together and brought together a celebration to touch your heart. And you can encourage one another in your worship. But it's highly personal. And but it is awesome when you get together and you see other people celebrating like you're celebrating,
Yeah.
celebrating. So it's
Well, it's funny when you say that, Mark, because my mother, we were raised in a denominational church, and not to
Oh,
say that our celebrations in the denominational church were terrible, but they were happy. They were good. They were good.
yeah,
right.
But every time mother would come up and join us, or we would be go down and visit with them, and they would join us at one of the Pentecostal churches that we would attend. My mother would say, "Oh, I like going to your church. It's a happy church."
yeah, we call it the happy
The happy
church.
church.
Yeah.
And it's true. I mean, as people come in and observe other people
Right.
celebrating and being happy. I do have one little story that when we first went to the Assembly of God's church
Yeah. Oh,
here
my. Yeah.
in the Hudson City area, first of all, I had been working for a program that I was doing an awake overnight service for our co-work program. So I hadn't slept the whole Saturday, and now I'm coming to church. Arthur wants to take me to this new church that he's found, and I'm like, okay. So it's Sunday morning. I haven't slept. I'm a little on edge. We come into this church. And it is a full-blown Pentecostal rocking church. And I'm like looking around going, what on earth have we done? Why has he brought me here? So we slide into this pew next to this beautiful little couple. Sweet, sweet, sweet couple. Dave and B. And B has a tambourine.
Oh yeah. Right.
And several other people in the church have tambourines.
Yeah.
And she is jumping up and down and just banging that tambourine and
Yeah.
singing, and everybody's singing. I'm like going,
Oh
like
my.
that picture, that painting.
Right.
Yeah,
I'm
the
like,
screen.
are you kidding me? What? And I look at him like, have you lost your mind?
Oh my goodness. I went to
I'm
that
going to go
church.
home and put my head on the pillow and try to pretend that this didn't
Right.
happen.
Yeah. No,
But we were loving that church, and we ended up serving at that church for many, many years. And
I think I went to your church. I was searching for churches after I became born again and found that church in Stottville, basically. and walked in and it was a lively worship service to say the same. There were some people,
sure.
on their knees and crying and
Right.
and hollering and carrying on and it was like whoa and so it was new for me and my and I brought my son with me we were worshiping and everything and then there just seemed to be no break in it after an hour of worship
Right.
they sort of took a break and I was like okay that was weird I guess they're done because I was used to the Catholic liturgy of
Yeah.
being and that was it and I was like we're out of here like yeah, we're not staying any longer than an hour but it was quite the experience and everyone has their own way of worshiping
That's
so
right. It's very festive and
I
very
was my capacity for worship was only an hour at that time
yeah
and it
at
still isn't much better but
that
but
Well, I'll say that Pastor Finn had another expression or saying where he said, you have to have structure, but it has to be dismantleable
collapsible.
and collapsible.
Right.
Thanks. And he's talking about the tabernacle, which different from the temple. The tabernacle broke down, and when the pillar of fire was on the move, the children of Israel were on the move. And so there is structure. You know, there is
Yeah.
a liturgical church has a liturgy so that there is unity and everybody's doing the same thing. But there's also that engagement, that personal engagement, where if someone hears from the Holy Spirit, or if someone has an emotional rush, or somebody wants
Right.
to raise their hands or dance or swing from the chandeliers, whatever it is, we should have freedom to be able to express ourselves, and not freedom to a point of being disruptive or distraction. There should be decency and order, as Paul talks about, but at the same time, buttressed with freedom. This is God's design. It's a beautiful tapestry. I think of it as like a jazz concert, where like one guy breaks out in a riff, and I'm not a big musician, but I think that's it. And somehow it all pulls together, somehow it all pulls together. So the next thing on our list in the study was a break from the routine. And Leviticus 23:8 says, "You shall do no customary work on it." As a matter of fact, it says that that's not the first use of that term in Leviticus 23. And he the Lord says that about each of the feasts. So there's a departure from work. We know that work is part of the created order. God gave Adam work to perform. In Genesis, it was not as though man should be a slave to creation, but to tend and keep it, Genesis 2:15, and even have dominion over it, Genesis 1:26. But because of man's disobedience, God cursed the ground and said, "In toil you shall eat of it the days of your life." And in this regard, I believe, and this is one of the main themes of the study today, is in this regard, celebration is a repeal, or at least a relief, or a temporary relief from the curse. It's a glimpse into how we were intended to live. It's a sample, it's a taste. Taste and see that the Lord is good, right? And so that we can at least be revived and revitalized, that when we have to go back to tending the ground, which in toil we're going to reap of its fruit, when we have to go back to that, where we still have that wooing, we still have that calling in our hearts, we still have that echoing in our soul, that this is hard, but this is not forever, and this is not the way it was intended to be. And there's something better on the horizon. So this was the intention of celebration, I think, in God's design, to woo us back to the garden, to woo us back to the place where he intended things to work in his perfect created order. And so I jotted in a note there from Colossians 2, 16 and 17. It says, "Let no one judge you in food or drink, or in regard to festival or new moon or Sabbaths." Okay, this is the new covenant, right? Which are shadows of things to come, but the substance is of Christ. So these feasts, the seven feasts in the Old Testament, and there were other feasts that were added along the way, the Feast of Purim, for instance, Hanukkah, it came into being during the Maccabean Wars. There were other feasts that came along, but they were shadows of again, the way God's creative order was intended, and the restoration of that coming, in the second coming and in the kingdom era.
Yeah, Jesus
So,
changed everything, you know? Yeah.
yes, he did. Yeah. Praise God. Hallelujah. So this breaking from the routine is big, is really big. And Mark shared with us a work story before we opened, a pretty dramatic work story that he was engaged with this week. And he really needs a break from the routine today.
Yes.
And he needs to
Some people
recalibrate.
are just, you just can't satisfy some people. Like, I This is a horrible analogy, and I hope the Lord forgives me. I know what Jesus feels like because he did all these miracles and people still didn't believe. And yeah. I did everything I could to satisfy this one customer, showed him the thing was working, and still he didn't understand and wasn't satisfied with the served. So I can understand the Lord's frustrations with us. Yeah. We fail to understand and fail to believe the work that he's done for us, you know. So.
Yes, exactly. So the last thing here is rejoicing. And each feast was marked with specific offerings and practices, which included food preparations and particular attitudes or focuses. On the seventh feast, the Feast of Tabernacles, Leviticus 23:40 says, "And you shall take for yourselves on the first day the fruit of the beautiful trees, branches or palm branches, and the boughs of leafy trees and willows of the brook, and you shall rejoice before the Lord your God for 7 days." When God throws a party, it's, you know, there's 7 days. Rejoicing involved, and he's not just messing around. Mm. We know that you know, even in the first century, when Jesus walked among us, we have the wedding at the Cana of Galilee. Jewish weddings were a week-long celebration, really genuinely festive, and with all those elements, a departure from the routine and everything that composed the and these seven feasts were spread out over time. We know that the Passover often involved people making a pilgrimage to Jerusalem, you know, mm-hmm. to offer a lamb as a sacrifice. And there were ordinances and structure and things of that sort. But it was also very collapsible, too.
Yeah, the Lord ordains these festivals and feasts to go over several days, and the Satan comes in with a counterfeit and comes up with a county fair.
Oh my goodness! Oh my goodness!
So, did you guys go this year? Did you go to the fair?
I did not, but Tammy Lynn serves faithfully at the fair every year. Basically for Operation Adopt a Soldier, that's the Washington County, and then she went to Batticoke County to enjoy the festival of the season, you know, end of summer, all back to school stuff. That's her tradition. Enjoy the fair, and some people don't, but you know, right there, and in the you know, before modern times, there was I forget what it was called, but it was like Carnival or whatever, where they had these, it was like a dispensation where you could, you know, live it up and go to the fair, drink and be sort of crazy and corrupt and, you know, and you know, it was like that was accepted. It was sort of a Mardi Gras type of
I was gonna say, it makes me think of Mardi Gras. Before Ash Wednesday you have Mardi Gras, and
and this is the corruption of how I opened in the beginning to say that celebration has been distorted and corrupted by the world system, by Satan. Everything in Satan's order is a cheap imitation. It's junk food compared to the meat and the real feast that God intends for us. So rejoicing is marked with special foods, with music and dancing and rejoicing. And we see that in the feasts, with exception of the Feast of Atonement. In the scripture, where it says the Lord says you shall do no work on that same day. This is verse 28. Make atonement before the Lord your God. It says above that, it shall be a holy convocation for you. You shall afflict your soul and offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. Mm-hmm. So the Day of Atonement is a special time set apart where you should really reflect and mm-hmm. and afflict your soul and consider repent. Your ways and repent. Yeah, the time of repentance.
Yeah,
In the new covenant, again, you know, we're not obligated. We're not under the law.
Yep.
We're not obligated to keep the seven feasts, in spite of what 12 tribes,
right?
I might say, but since we have been redeemed from the bondage of sin, which brings forth death, ours is a higher calling. Paul writes in Philippians 4:4, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice.
Yeah.
So now this is not an excuse that to say, well, you know, I experience Christ by the riverbed, you know, I don't have to go to church kind of thing. This is not a departure, because remember the first element in our study was community, right? It's much richer and more festive when there's people engaged in unity. So, but ours is a continual rejoicing. We always have something to rejoice about because we've been redeemed. You know, the curse was bondage. Tom Griffith pointed out that in his study on rest, there's no rest in bondage.
Right.
You know, there was no rest in Egypt. Egypt was a 24/7 hour job.
Yeah.
It was a bondage. You had taskmasters. You were afflicted. This was not a party. Okay. So there was no rest there. But we have opportunity to celebrate Christ because, you know, we're the temple of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. He's with us always. He's promised never to leave us or forsake us. Mm-hmm. And we can have our own little Pentecostal party wherever we are, whenever we want. Mm-hmm. And that's powerful. Our gathering together or assembling is expressed in Hebrews 10:25, which says, do not neglect the assembling of yourself together as some are in the habit of doing, but all the more as the day approaches. Our gathering together is a celebration of God's goodness and the freedom and victory that we enjoy in Christ.
Amen.
And this is, you know, this is something to celebrate when the conquering emperor or Caesar, you know, came back to Rome with the spoils in procession. That was a celebration. People were partying. That was a great time to realize that things are good, and we have a victory going on here, and this is a good thing. Some liturgical churches still practice the processional.
Yeah,
the Catholic Church, particularly, the priest comes down, you know, enters from the narthex and comes down the main aisle to the apse, and there's a structure of it all. And it is a processional, and you know, at least that was something. That was a glimpse of something. You knew something was going to happen, right?
And I remember in the past, in Episcopal Church service, having them come down the aisle, and everyone in the entire church got in line and basically followed the cross around as we celebrated Easter or something. Basically in a parade around the aisles of the church, and it was cool, man.
One of the most festive memories for me was years ago we had a strong interfaith community, and we would have on Martin Luther King Day, would have a special worship service, usually at Shiloh Baptist Church, which was our local Black Baptist church in Hudson. Mm-hmm. And the Shiloh choir was just raw. They were just wonderful, and they were just celebrating. They were rocking. And there would be a processional come down as the choir is singing down the main aisle, and all the clergy would be in procession. They would come in their traditional robes. And of course, one of the funniest things was that...
We don't mean to be rude at all,
but Rabbi Fried had rhythm issues, trying to clap and walk, and he loved it, and he participated, and he tried. You know, there's a word for effort, dude. Really, it was. But it was a very festive time, and you just felt the electricity in the air. And this processional was all part of it. And these are all the trappings and elements of celebration. Our sacred meal is the body and blood of Christ, right? Which we do in symbolic form, and our opportunity is made for us to depart from our daily fare and to enjoy the blessings as we were intended to, and one day will, more completely and perfectly in glory. Mm-hmm. So this is all pointing to, you know, our to eternity and our intended purpose to celebrate God and Christ and the Holy Spirit, to celebrate all that he has done for us and all that he is. Mm. So that we're going to enjoy him forever, and that enjoy has some joy in it. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And that's God's intention for us to draw us out. I think I said in last week's study that when we see Christians that are just down in the dumps, in the mully grubs, constantly morose and complaining, you know, it's not my place to judge, but I think you should really ask yourself and get circumspect about the integrity of your conversion and your relationship with Christ, because this should bring us great joy. And it is indeed a celebration.
Hmm. Amen.
So any closing thoughts on that? We're going to have opportunity to celebrate today in a little while.
Absolutely. I liked Ephesians 5, basically where it tells us to be filled with the Spirit. In verse 18, and then 19 says, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs.
Yes,
I love that. Making melody in your heart to the Lord and giving thanks always for the things, all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
And thanks for, I didn't really camp on any of the those things, but music is a huge piece to this equation. And we know that David danced before the Lord as he's bringing the ark into Jerusalem. And this was a great day of celebration where there was special food, where, you know, David said, everyone shall have a cake of figs and dates, and special food was handed out and things of that sort. So,
you know. I think it's also, you know, in Old Testament, you have where the singing goes out before a battle. That, you know, celebrate, it's almost like celebrating before the battles even happen, because we go up to the New Testament where it says we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. So celebrate, I mean, even if you do, and we're not saying that people don't have sorrow in their lives or don't have issues.
Of course not.
You know, we have our own. You know, last Sunday I was celebrating and singing, and then all of a sudden I got hit with a wave of, but then I just celebrated through it, you know, because we do have those uprises and falls, but in a battle, it seems to me that if you go in singing, you're going to realize that you really are more than a conqueror.
You know, I'm glad you brought that up, Susanna, because, you know, I noticed basically when I get into negative states of thinking or, you know, selfish thoughts or whatever, if I have worship music on, you know, I can switch to worship and suddenly all that stuff goes away. Yes. Guys in our groups got some reminded us all that basically you can't think two things at once. And so if we're, thinking about ourselves being, offended or bothered or not being taken care of or whatever, that's the focus of our thoughts, we're going to be in that mess. But if, worship is there, it reminds us to be thankful for the Lord, even in the midst of all these things. And it really, I've discovered that it has really a great effect to change your thoughts, basically, or shift, basically your focus to God again. And on occasion I've found that, just subtly, to be, because one thing we do when we run into the troubles, we shut down relationally. We go into silence.
That's true. That's true.
And when you open up that dialogue to worship, even if you're singing just lightly along with it, suddenly things will change because you be, the
I
music
agree.
and you just open up and you release, you stop buttoning down and you let it out. Perry Stone used to say, when you sing, you open up your mouth and the Holy Spirit, comes, is allowed to come out. It rolls away the stone and, the Holy Spirit comes out. It's a very poetic way of saying something, there's a lot of truth in that, in the fact that, the joy of the Lord can come out in song and change the atmosphere, quite frankly. And,
Yeah, joy unspeakable and full of glory.
Glory.
There was an old saying that went, when you sing, you pray twice, right? So music is a huge element and piece to this puzzle of celebration and a gift from God, indeed, a beautiful component. I remember one apologist used to say about Oscar Wilde. Oscar Wilde was dark, atheist. And he's a great writer and poet and novelist, but a pretty dark character. And on his deathbed, he called for a priest, Anglican priest. And there was no, I remember this guy saying there was no singing at his funeral. There was no music at his funeral. When darkness seeps in, silence often creeps in too. And this is can be the dark night of the soul that is very, very oppressive. This is again where we need community. We need one another.
In my oikos, as Arthur says recently, some tragedy or some, trauma has come into people's lives that are close to me. And I suffered similar traumas in the past, and they are, people are concerned with their mental health because, because their pain and loss is so great that people are like going, wow, they need to see somebody, they need treatment or whatever. And I weighed in. I was like, no, this is trauma. They're hurting, and this is, they don't know how to cope, and this is what they're doing. They're doing things that are, what they experience is a major break from what they're used to, something that's shaken their foundations, and they haven't followed the Lord. They don't know how to cope in the spirit, and this is what the world has taught them. The people get drunk or, angry or act out erratically because they don't have the foundation of peace that the Lord gives us. And, the processing of trauma, through our faith is significantly different than what the world would teach you to do. And so, you never stop celebrating because that builds your capacity to take on the traumas that come your way.
Yeah, that's
Because when
good.
your capacity, when you don't have that foundation of capacity and joy, your bucket fills up quick with the stresses of this world. And when you have a small cup, it's going to overflow and spill out in all kinds of unexpected ways, basically. You know, no one ever pressed your buttons before. You insulated yourself and never had these bad things happen to you. And now it's, you know, the sky is falling because something happens that you and you don't know how to deal with it, and you don't have the capacity to absorb it, you know, so, or to
but I just want to
give it to the Lord.
Flip side, which is the gifts of the Lord. How many times have you gone, you know, Oscar Wilde didn't have any music, it was a terrible funeral, but how many times have you gone to the funeral of a Christian?
Right.
And the celebration is huge.
Yeah.
The huge celebration. We had one of my dear friends, her husband passed.
Brenda.
Adrian's dad.
Yeah.
And he was a wonderful Christian man. He was great because she's a great Christian. And the church was full of people, and there was music and singing and stories about how he made people, you know, joy filled, and how he spoke about the Lord. And you didn't go away from that funeral sad. You went away from it going, that was a celebration.
Yeah.
That was a celebration. And when I pass, I'm going to put it in my will somewhere that says, there's to be no sad music. We're not going to have any of this. People are to be happy and joyful, and I'm going to heaven, and that's where it should be.
That's right.
So, you know, it's a celebration. It's a celebration.
Well, nobody's passing anytime
soon. Oh, not anytime soon. I'm just saying. I'm just saying. You know.
Well, this has been a joy.
Yes.
Anytime we gather together around God's word, there's an element of celebration to that. And Mark, I'll ask you to pray for us as we move on to the rest of our day of rest and celebration.
Exactly.
Hallelujah.
Lord God, Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us together so we could find our rest in you and celebrate your goodness, Lord, for all that you do and that all you've revealed to us in your word and through our lives, Lord, that we've seen that you're faithful and good, and you never leave us or forsake us. And even in the midst of troubles, we can celebrate your presence with us. And Lord, so we pray for you to stay with us today, and we pray for you to go out into the world and to bless your church by anointing the pastors to speak your word and to anointing the worship teams to lift people up in community and in joy, to give honor to your name and to give you the glory. Lord, we just pray for you to go before us today, lead us in the things you would have us do, and open our eyes to the wonderful things that you provided us with. Lord, we thank you, we praise you, and we love you. And we pray all these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
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 Right. Well, that was a celebration for sure.
Yeah.
And I can't wait to celebrate today at church. And for anybody who wanted to join us for other studies, we have a whole archive of them going back to 2021 on our podcast and our YouTube channel. We're very content and humbled by the fact that the followers increase and the viewing hours increase on YouTube. I'm just humbled by the whole thing. And we appreciate anyone clicking and tuning in to any of the things we produce. We thank you. And with that said, we wish everybody to have a great day. And
yes.
May God bless you all.
God bless.